other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the internet's only podcast about books, officially sponsored by books, about books, because of books, all the books. My name is Aaron. I'm here on the personal panels, Dave.
Hi, babies.
And Brick.
Hello, this is Brick.
Yes, that is correct. You are who you are and no more.
I am who I am.
There you go. Today's topic is, this week's topic is one that is sort of currently in the news, or kind of in the news, I suppose. If you've been on social media or read news recently, or maybe you watched the show on Netflix, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, you might have sort of heard people talking about clutter in your home, and then specifically the topic of books. How much books are you allowed to, or how many books are you allowed to have in the home? What's too many? What's not enough? I guess no one's saying what's not enough, but how many are too many? And should you hold on to your books or let them go? It's a topic close to my heart because I've lived in Boston for 12 years, and I've moved, I think, 9 times within that 12-year span. So I've had to move boxes of books quite often, and they get more and more, and they get heavier and heavier, and I keep doing it to myself. So I got a question sort of like, what about books you can't let go of? Why can't you let go of them? What attracts you to your books in the first place? Should you have a bookshelf or a library, if you want to call it that? And why or why not? I'm interested to hear sort of your kind of personal experiences with keeping or holding on to books.
There was one major book that felt like an albatross anchor weighing me down that I kept moving from apartment to apartment around the country and was just not reading.
Yeah.
I don't remember when it came out, maybe close to 10 years ago.
Oh, so it wasn't the Bible.
It was a very big Bible. Mark Twain's autobiography.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that huge thing that I think University of California Press put out. It was like, no shit, a more than 5-pound book.
Yeah, it's a brick.
It is a huge brick, and I never cracked it. But I just kept taking it with me from across the country. I think it was because, and probably this applies to a lot of these types of books, I really like the idea of being the kind of person who would read this book.
Right. There's a sort of personal optimism or like idealism to having that book. Like, you could be the person who read Mark Twain's autobiography.
Yeah. And then they kept putting it out because there are 3 volumes of it now. So if I read the first one, I would have to buy 2 more like 10-pound books and carry those around with me. And just like thinking about the investment in that and how many, like if I read those 3 books, that probably represents like 40, maybe more normally sized books that I could read in my life. You know, it takes a lot of time from what I think would be better choices for me because, you know, I've read a few Twain novels. I like his work, but I'm not a Mark Twain super fan.
Right.
So like, what's the point? So finally I gave it away after my wife and I moved this past May, and I was packing all these books again, and I was like, fuck, why do I found myself putting it into a box, and I was like, why am I doing that? That's enough of this.
Right.
And I left it out on the curb.
How'd you feel?
Great.
Excellent.
Great. Yeah.
There's a word in Japanese for this phenomenon of keeping books you don't read. It's called, the word is sundoku. I'm not sure if it's pronouncing that correctly, but it's T-S-U-N-D-O-K-U. It's a specific term sort of referencing books that you sort of keep around that you or let pile up that you don't read, and it comes from the late 19th century. So this is a universal phenomenon. Yeah, same way. I card around books I've not read for decades. This I still intend to read at some point. There's a book about the French New Wave that I have read the first chapter of, I want to say, 5 times, and always like intend to read it and finish it and get sort of bogged down and then don't finish it. But it's still on my shelf. It's still around there. It's a very nice, handsome looking book, but I cannot manage to actually finish it.
So what is like for most books, particularly these days with online shopping, you could get rid of that book for now. And if you really want to read it down the line, buy it for like $1 online somewhere. Or get it from the library.
Theoretically, yes. Like that's true in the abstract. I have a bit of a like a pack rat sensibility, or there is an emotional resonance to the object that is hard then to get rid of. So
that
yes,
one specific object.
Right. Yeah, I could get that a version of that book again, but it would be that book. And I would feel there's something about letting it go though that's very difficult.
Yep. Also, if you ever reread a book and it's got your notes from like years past, that's great. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So I will keep books that I know I'm going to reread.
Yeah. But see,
other than that, I don't.
I almost never get rid of books, even if I don't like them. I'd say probably half the books I have in my little office room I've finished, and the other half I've not finished. And some of them I haven't. Many of them I haven't even started. Mm-hmm. I don't like getting rid of them. I don't collect books I have no intention of reading either. And the same goes for, I got a lot of video games. I don't buy them to collect them. Mm. I'll only buy the stuff I want to play. And then once I used to sell them all, then I used to regret it a lot.
Right.
So I just, even though, you know, realistically, the chances I go through and replay every single one of them is slim. Mm-hmm. I like having the ability to. But it's also, part of it is kind of like a trophy kind of thing. Mm. Part of it is I really like the idea of building my own little library. Some of my favorite, I don't say favorite, but some very memorable moments from when I was a kid was that we had a really big bookshelf in my summer cottage. And being bored and just kind of looking at them all and trying to figure out what I want to read next.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do that when I'm looking for something to read. I just stand and look at my books for, you know, 20 minutes, and I'll pull out a few and kind of browse through and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same reason I like just going and wandering around libraries or going to bookstores and not buying things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the choosing is as fun as the thing. And I like when I'm working on my computer, I like the feeling of just a wall of books behind me.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. Under what circumstances will you get rid of books?
If it's real, like hot garbage, I will get rid of it.
What about early work?
Well, see, that's the books that I don't get rid of any podcast books ever, okay. You know, because those are
books that are tied to something.
Books that you know, that see, so even a book I don't like usually has a pretty strong memory associated with it.
So you still own Zabiba and the King then?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I just saw it the other day, actually, when I was looking for that Edgar Carrot book. Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not a hoarder. Outside of books and games and stuff, I don't really keep stuff.
Right.
But I like kind of having my own personally curated library, I guess.
I do, too. It's a really attractive thing.
Yeah, and it's more than, like, having a shelf for your favorite books is one thing, but it's nice when it's a little bigger than that.
Yeah, and I've always liked the experience of going to someone's house or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, meeting a new person or someone you like first started dating or whatever, and looking at their libraries, you know, books, movies, records, whatever it is, and sort of trying or starting to piece together a sense of who you think they are from that collection.
Yeah, it's nice.
And whether it's accurate or not, it's part of the fun of it. It's sort of like looking at what you have in common, what you don't have in common. You know, how do you sort of assess this person based on what's on their shelf? It's really, yeah, I like that a lot.
Hopefully someday I can afford to buy my own house, and the first thing I'm going to do is build the library.
Oh, yeah. I have the same fantasy.
So we'll get there eventually.
I'm at the point where I need... So I've filled up two bookshelves in my... And I have a small room to my own. I filled up two bookshelves and sort of four record cubes, and I'm overloading. So I need to buy another record cube set and probably another bookshelf, and it's like there's just literally nowhere for it. Like I'm stacking on top of stacks, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah. I used to have hundreds of movies and... tons of albums. I sort of forced myself to give up on those. Mm-hmm. I've got a few movies. I mean, I like one shelf's worth of movies. There's a handful of CDs over there, which I don't even listen to CDs anymore. But
right. All
my music I got rid of years ago. But for some reason, I haven't been able to make that turn, or I don't want to make that turn with books and games. So I just haven't.
Well, also, CDs and even DVDs are becoming increasingly obsolete.
Yeah.
Unlike
every single one of those CDs I have is I have it digitally anyway, but I didn't get rid of those because
they're associated with something maybe from
maybe, but also especially with CDs and especially with music and with video games, they usually come with like the inserts and the manuals, and that's part of the experience is listening to the music and flipping through the inserts or kind of reading the back of the game box, and that's tied to the experience for me, and that's a very hard thing to get rid of. And I think it's true with books too, like holding the book means something to me, whereas I, you know, we ran a website that was basically evangelizing e-readers, and I could never commit to the shift because I just couldn't get rid of holding the book, looking at the back, flipping through it and kind of seeing what I can look forward to, you know, the smell of it. All that stuff is sort of inextricable from the experience for me.
Yeah. Well, and there is something too about the permanence or semi-permanence of physical media as well. And this past, in the fall, the Criterion Channel and Turner Classic Movies is streaming platform Filmstruck closed. Yeah, and it was a bummer. I love Filmstruck. It was a great service, and it had tons of things that I wanted to watch and enjoyed. But the temptation was always, well, I don't need to get this DVD because it's on Filmstruck. I can just watch it there whenever I want to. And then all of a sudden it was gone. So you can't rely on these companies preserving your sort of free, accessible online archive of stuff forever. It's not going to be
there.
And
that's true of things you buy also.
Yeah.
Things get delisted, you know, all the time. It's happened. iTunes has removed movies, so movies you could have bought from them that are gone. It happens with games constantly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a real problem. Nope.
Yeah, that's balls.
Usually what companies do is if you've already purchased it, you're able to re-download it.
Oh, okay.
But there's nothing forcing. I know with there was a thing with Apple and movies lately where they're just like, oh, we don't have any more, sorry.
Right.
I believe what they did was gave everyone a free rental. Which is, you know, fuck you, you know? So if you don't store the digital stuff yourself, you're kind of out.
Yeah, that's like Blockbuster coming to steal a movie you bought and then giving you a rental version of it for temporary. It's like, this is good for 3 days. Like, I don't want this.
Fuck you. So there's that. But I also enjoy the curation aspect. Like, I have a library software on my computer. I scan them all in. Like, I have a digital thing that says exactly how many books I have and what they are. So I can even search.
Right.
You know, do I have this book and then type it up?
We should get you a card catalog.
I would use the shit out of it.
Like a little home card catalog shelf to like pull out little cards.
That'd be fucking great.
Kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I really love the self-curation and sort of like the permanence of a home library. But the reality of living in the city and living in small spaces conflicts with that.
Yes.
I wish that I had my own home where I had, you know, a massive room where I could have my books and records and movies and comics and all this stuff and not ever have to give it up. But it gets, you know, as I get older and continue to sort of live in apartments and rental spaces, that reality starts to close in on you.
Sounds like the three of us should buy a house together. And
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Start to focus on the Yak Baby Presidential Library.
Yeah.
Nice. And then I can read all of your books and watch all your movies and all the stuff that I don't have.
Yeah, there's a whole Patterson wing in the library, which is just book shots.
Yes.
Flash lines.
We'll be writing our own book load soon.
Yeah, look forward to that. Yeah, no, it's like comics especially, maybe more so than books and records or anything else, comics pile up very quickly.
Yeah, are comics even displayed on your shelves or are you just, they're in boxes?
They're in boxes.
Yeah.
Trades are on my shelves for sure, stuff like that, but individual issues are in boxes. One for just storability, then you put in the closet that way. But also, like, on a shelf, it just looks like a stack of stuff. You can't really see the covers or the this thing on the spine to make it, so like, aesthetically appealing. But I'm increasingly having to make choices about comics that I want to get rid of. And I'm going to start sending out feelers to interested parties to see if they sort of want complete arcs or things or series that I no longer have an attachment to that I can sort of easily, or not easily, sort of could conceive of getting rid of. But it's not an easy choice. My default has always been collecting the comics and keeping them. But if you're a comics reader for, you know, even 5 years or 10 years and you really commit to a couple books, then you have tons of shelf space or storage space devoted to those books, and they're not getting reread that often, if ever, really. When I was a kid, they got reread quite a bit, but now it's usually a one-time read and that's it.
I do go back and reread, play, watch things.
Yeah.
Fairly regularly. I'd say when it's time to start a new game or read a new book, it's close to a 50-50 chance it'll be something I already have.
Really?
Either a redo or something I got but never started or finished.
Yeah.
So, there's a functional aspect to my own habits.
Right. That's interesting. I'm able to do it with movies, and usually that's even rare. Like, with books, it's almost always a first read.
Yeah. So I started a rule for myself last year. It was like my resolution, or 2 years ago actually, and I've mostly kept to it, though I broke a little bit, which is for every new thing I get, whether it's a game or a book or whatever, I have to finish 3 old ones.
Whoa.
And I've mostly kept to it.
That's intense.
Unless I hit a sale where like shit is real cheap, I mostly stick to it, and it's kind of helped me appreciate what I got.
Yeah.
So maybe consider that.
It's not a bad idea. It's really good. I tried last year to stick to a no new books until I finished my old books thing, and it failed miserably within, I think, a month maybe.
Well, a nice side effect to my little plan was it caused me to pick up lots of short stuff that I had otherwise skipped.
Yeah.
So, it worked for me.
Maybe I'll try that and see if I can, you know, make some shelf space, but also start to clear my backlog. Because the backlog, while I read an article in the New York Times where I got that Japanese word from, that I learned about that from a New York Times editorial or you know, sort of brief essay about the value of unread books. I can agree with that, but also it does sometimes weigh on me where I sort of feel like there's this responsibility or life unlived sort of living on these shelves, and I have to... Mm-hmm. I have a responsibility to crack it and do some of the work there. And, or I shouldn't say work, but sort of like experience those experiences maybe. And they keep not doing it. It'd be probably emotionally helpful to excavate some of that, those layers of content. Well, I don't know, guys. I feel down about it. It somehow made me feel sad. Let us know, listeners, what your shelves look like. What books can you get rid of? Do you have a treasured... Oh, before you end, one last question. One prized possession, one thing you can never get rid of? Do you have sort of one thing that, like, you know, in a fire you would claim and run away with or anything like that, or anything you're so attached to?
One book or just any
say object? Book, yeah. Yeah, not like your birth certificate or your wife. Like, it's like a book.
In that order.
Yeah. A first edition, a signed copy, a book that you've read 1,000 times, your dog-eared and thumbed edition of Johnny Tremaine with all those
I would grab my personal notebooks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that counts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it counts. Sure.
I mean, obviously, I don't want my books to burn, but there's not any one or two that, like, they are replaceable.
Right.
You know? I don't collect for collecting's sake. I don't buy rare editions or anything like that.
Right.
And half the time I buy books, they're used anyway. So
right.
Their value is only what it is. But
sure.
It's more sentimental than anything. So I would save my personal stuff.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, maybe if we're just talking about books, maybe my copy of Johnny Tremaine, which is my childhood copy, and I've read that one specifically, you know, dozens of times.
Yeah.
I think everything I have other than that is replaceable.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a sensible option, especially a childhood book. That's like a memento.
Sentimentality, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I, of course, would say the Bible. So on Twitter at YakBabies and email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Patreon at patreon.com/YakBabies for more bonus content that is unfit for print in the main feed. You'll find what that means if you go there. For $1, you can get all that content at your hot little hands. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
I've got so much to wash, so much to clean, so much to do, it's really obscene. So much to watch, so much to read, so much to hear, too much to be. I've got a lot of stuff. 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 Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff. 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 All together now. I've got a lot of stuff. Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff. 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 Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of stuff. Yeah.